And welcome to Wisdom Dialogues with Hope Johnson. Yes, coming to you from Hawaiian Paradise Park on the beautiful Big Island of Hawaii. Yay. So good to be with you. Oh, you listen to the podcast. Yes, we have podcasts too. One big ass love. Hooray. Who do you think said that? It's our friend and fellow urine. Well, not, we don't, I guess we don't. Yeah. Yes, we're not like personally drinking the urine, but we have friends who do, apparently. So, of course, we know, but a lot of the times it's not practiced, that we don't need to have any conflict with anyone at any time. There's no need for any conflict anytime. And, you know, you'll notice if you've gotten into a conflicted state of mind, because you'll feel less than joyful. And then when you end up bursting out into a conflict situation in your dream, that's just because the conflict went unrecognized up till that point in time. So you project it outside of yourself and you can get a look at it better. You know, we're really masters at covering up what we're thinking in secret, like hiding it from ourselves. It's a good trick. And, you know, when it gets to the point where we really want to see it, we will, because we'll look at the manifestation. We'll notice, oh, there's the inner conflict coming forward. You know, it's like you can't even help it. One friend was telling me today how she just hauled off and punched her little brother. And then she like felt all kinds of guilt. You know, this kind of stuff, it's not really premeditated in that sense that, you know, you're aware that you're thinking of it. It's kind of like underneath the surface. It's like, oh, I need a beating, you know, like really people are feeling like this. That's why it ends up like, you know, you're getting one. That's how it is. you know, all the attacks that come from your mind, they're all attacks on your body. Right. So it's like wishing. I notice, especially in election season, like it is right now, people will just be very vocal about their wish for certain people to perish. a lot of the times, very violently, right? And that's just okay, because hey, it's politics, right? And you know, I don't mean that it's not okay. It is okay. It's just that it hurts your mind. And in that sense, that's not really okay with me, you know, because I love you and I'd rather not see you hurt your mind. And also I'd rather not see myself hurt my mind. So, right. But just knowing that you have all the power in that is very healing. And that's how I extend the healing to you, is just the willingness to see that you're just kidding. You're bugging around. It's like, you're pulling my leg about this. Like, I just want to suffer. Right. So, oh, aloha everyone. Thank you. Paul, you are fabulous. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn and Amy. I love you. So yeah, one interesting, I was talking with my sister, whose biological father, you know, in the dream, but it makes it heavy, like for a person, you know, a feeling like, okay, this is my biological father and he's passing away, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it's my stepfather. When it was my father, I noticed that it's no different. I know there's no death. I know it's just a joke, and I could see an ego program playing out. That's what my sister noticed that too. There's just this ego program playing out. It's like, no, don't want to try to do anything like move around or anything like that. Totally comfortable with having a person basically yelling at him and belittling him while he's laying there. You know, my sister was talking about how she offered to help him out and totally take care of him, which he really enjoyed whenever she was over there. But he had to come live with her, and his wife couldn't come. Right? Because what my sister was getting a perception, and what everyone's getting a perception is that the wife is yelling at him and he's starting to shake and having a miserable time with having a person yelling at him and belittling him. So my sister called the cops about that. And the cops said, well, you know, there's not anything we can do about that because he wants her there. If he doesn't want her there, we can sure go over there. And she's like, isn't there some kind of like abuse thing or something like that? Because they're watching this and going, what the fuck, right? So anyways, it ends up like, okay, that's what he's going to have, because whatever the program is, you know, whatever the program is for him to play out. And here's the thing. There's the perception, like we've played out these perceptions where he's the abuser of me, right? So if he's holding on to that as something that he actually did, because no matter what, when your mind perceives you hurting someone, there's a guilty conscience that really it needs to be purified, right? That needs to be purified. If that isn't purified, you know, if that guilty conscience isn't purified, then you're looking for basically your ass kicking that you think you deserve, right? So, you know, when I went over there and met with him, you know, basically just being there for him as a space of innocence, right? A space of peace and innocence. And then whatever was shared through me, I'm sure it was, you know, something about being, letting all your whatevers be forgiven, right? Because the thing is, you haven't really done anything. And this is what I shared with him too. You haven't really done anything. You just have a perception that you did something. And then you don't want to like give that up. You're holding it. You don't want to give that up. You don't want to be free of it. Right? So you can be released of anything that you think you've done. You haven't really done anything. Yes, your ego has hurt other egos. Right? But that's in a dream. That's your responsibility. Yes. But at the same time, it's in a dream. So that guilty feeling is only to let you know that you have something that you need to be released from. It's not to let you know you actually did something wrong, right? So that's the vibe, and maybe not in those words, because, you know, he's not, certainly not studied to the point where he might understand me, and there's no point in speaking anything that wouldn't be understood. Right. But just kind of like, you know, that's the vibes that get exuded when I'm sitting there in the room with him and holding hands and making eye contact and stuff like that. You know, whether or not he would accept it is up to him. Right. It's like, you know, I talk about how we've trained everyone in our field really well to deny the truth. So now, by our own demonstration, right? Our own demonstration, that's according to our own willingness, right? To see. It's like how much, and, you know, the thing is, they say our own willingness, it's the Holy Spirit that's helping us to see that we are willing. We do only will with creation, right? With love. We do only will with love. So just being in that space of willingness to be that example, because that's really the way that we teach and the way that we learn as well. It's like, it's an example to our own mind. Look at how your own mind is observing everything. You can see it in your space of awareness, how you're getting that observation. It's like, oh, you know, it's like when you would be willing to also demonstrate that and not act as if someone did something or someone deserves something. Or even, you know, another guilty thought is that he was a big time drinker his whole life. So he's done a good job living to this age, whatever it is. It's like 74, 75, something like that. He should have been dead a long time ago, kind of thinking. You know what I mean? Right? It's the same kind of guilty conscience. And, you know, anything that is an attack, and it's an attack on your own body when you would pursue a thought like that and make it meaningful to yourself, right? Because that makes it so that in your mind, you're vulnerable to illusions. When you make anyone else like as if they're trapped in their body or something, you know, even if you seem to see someone who seems like noticeably mentally ill, like a woman who was yelling toward me. What was it? It was great. We're walking around in downtown Hilo and she's yelling. She all of a sudden this great big yelling comes out. And it was like this sense, like, first of all, there was a sense like, wow, she really hates me. And then I go, oh, that's, you know, in my mind, it's like, oh, that's just love playing out. It's not like a big deal, you know. It seems like it's dangerous to walk even by her because she's screaming at me from a distance. She was saying something about how ugly I am and stuff like that. It was good. and then Chaitin and I just walked right by us, and I just kept looking at her, you know, and just smiling at her. And she probably said, "What are you smiling at?" or something like that. "You're so ugly," or something like that. And you know, it's just whatever it is. It's like you just love whatever it is. Just love whatever it is. It's like, oh, I love that. Whatever seems to be occurring in your life right now. That's it. That's the thing. Because this is not a real life. It's not like that. It's just a dream with a function. The dream actually has, it serves a function. If you would use it for that, you know, you could fuck around and use it for other stuff. But as long as you're using it for what it's meant for, then you're feeling good. You're feeling joyful and uplifted, and you can be uplifting and you can be aware and conscious in the moment, right? It's only when you're making the illusion true that you get lost. Oh, aloha, Cynthia. Yay. And Cynthia said aloha to Lori. So yay. Ah, thank you, everyone. I appreciate you. So one thing that came up this week, and something that, you know, I've been learning more deeply as of recently, you know, as of having some relations that felt a little bit conflicted last year, right? And just noticing in our communications and the way we communicate, we may feel like it's a really loving way that we're communicating, right? But we're not right about that. And we find out by their reaction. We really do. We find out by the other's reaction. And, you know, it's like this. We're like holding this deep pit of shame. Okay. So don't be surprised when people react to you as if, you know, they're unhappy with you, for instance. Don't be afraid of that. Like, you know, I don't go around afraid of people acting like they're unhappy with me. It's just that I recognize that their unhappiness toward me is really a reflection of inner unhappiness. That's all. Right. So then it's like you can love that. So like with the lady, I'll apply that. The lady screaming at me, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently. Right. It's just like, are you willing to see that another way? This is love. This lady is coming to me in love, and she's looking for a gift of love that's actually for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's for healing that sense of angst, sadness, hatred, all that kind of stuff. It's for healing that sense within myself, you know, and then it's like when you turn it around like that, you don't have to mind fuck the thing, right? It's just like, oh, what fun. Let's go walking by her again. What was fun is, what was fun, you guys, is first we walked, we parked, and we walked to go to one place. What was the first place we went in Hilo? The chocolate place?
Yeah.
So we went to the chocolate place. I didn't have my ID, right? Because we said, shit, I'm definitely over 21. People are going to be able to know I'm over 21. I got some gray hair growing. Definitely got my fair share of wrinkles. You know, no problem, right? And so, no, if they want your ID still, okay? They don't even care. It has nothing to do with what it used to have anything to do with. You could be fucking 80 years old walking in with a cane. You still need an ID to get a drink. So we go back. We just walk by her, what, three times? Because we walked to the place. Each time, the same story. I'd be laughing way down the street. It seemed like she was just triggered by my laughter. I'd be laughing way down the street. And she's like, ah, what are you laughing at? Just like, and I'm walking toward her meanwhile. Yeah. Me and Chayden hitting the streets. We thought we were going dancing in Hilo. It was what, a Saturday night? It was a Saturday night. We thought we were going dancing in Hilo. No, we're just drinking in bars. Second bar, we weren't drinking anymore. We both hit our limit. We usually have a 2-drink limit. Not because we say we have a 2-drink limit so we won't become alcoholics. We are actually not afraid of becoming alcoholics at all. If that needs to occur, it's fine. It will be some fun-ass alcoholics if that goes down. And it's not like that. You know, it's just like we vibe with the with the environment that we seem to be in. We just vibe with it and see how it feels, right? They're like, okay, let's have, we're not saying we're not going to have a drink, but let's have some food. And then we have some food and then we end up not ordering a drink. And we're like, we're good with this. And then we drive home happy. It's funny. It's, you know, you'll hear stories of people going out and going, oh gosh, they get so out of control in their mind, right? You're getting out of control in your mind, like when you're manifesting like this out of control night where you were barfing and you were like fucking 10 guys and you're just spend all the money in your bank account or something. It's like, you know, right? It's just like, you know, you just went into this chaotic energy mentally, and it's like shutting off all sensation. Really, it's like shutting off all sensations, like using these things, using these activities. It's not the activity itself. It's not that, right? It doesn't have any power in itself, but it's the way you would use these activities. Are you like trying to check out? Right? Are you using it to tune in? Because either way, it becomes a powerful tool. And it's not neutral. It's like one side or the other. You're using it to check out, or are you using it to tune in? And you know, you can use anything. It does not matter what it is. Right. Of course. Well, everything that you get a perception of yourself apparently doing is coming together because that's what's maximally beneficial for you right now at this point in time. Yeah. Right. So most people want to argue with their perception, right? That's how it is. That's what gets you upset. You're arguing with your perception, right? So that's the thing. I just look at that and go, oh, I don't need to argue with my perception. This is just a perception. It doesn't mean anything. It's a passing perception, right? And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't hinder my ability to quote unquote stand up for myself, that I just allow that to flow however it needs to flow. I'm certainly not afraid of getting a perception of standing up for myself. That's fine with me. If it's maximally beneficial, if I'm already doing it, I know that's what it is, right? If I'm contemplating doing it, it's just realizing that's not up to me. I'm led. I'm led. I'm either being led by the Holy Spirit or I'm being led by the ego in the moment. And it just depends what I'm making of this. Right? Like, what would I make of it? That's what's going to determine. Yeah, Paul, fun times. Yeah. So it was funny. I was in the real estate office and I think it was a meeting maybe last Friday or something. And oh gosh, it was fun. There was this, one of the real estate agents was having this thing where he was doing a promo for himself and he was taking like videos from the other real estate agents in the office. Well, I wasn't invited to do that, which I wasn't really like, oh my gosh, I wish I was doing that or something like that. But then I'm getting ready to leave. And one of the guys goes, hey, Hope, did you do your video already? And I go, no, I wasn't invited to that video. And then it was so funny that the coach goes, she goes, ooh. And then she's kind of like, she does some kind of movement, like kind of like, oh, kick them when they're down or something like that. And it was so fun. And so it's like, I laughed. I just like, not even a big deal to me. I mean, people select who they're going to select and that's all perfect. And then I noticed it occurred to me later and there was kind of like this bad feeling about it. And all it was, you know, it's like the ego offering this bit of temptation. Do you want to go on this? Cause you know, the ego loves to chew on stuff like this. Oh, what is the reason? Why didn't he select me to be one? He selected everyone else except me, actually. Why did he not select, you know, like I'm the best. No, I don't know. Whatever. I could hear my mom's voice in my ear right now. They don't want to be outshone by you. Just like all the different whatevers that come up to try to describe what it is that happened or anything like that. And noticing how even using anything so simple, like this is just a simple thing that might come up in your perception. It's to just be released. It's just so stupid. It doesn't really make any sense. It doesn't change anything. there is a temptation that arises based on what we perceive in our field. So it's like, and you don't know, like all of the circumstances that have to come together just for this seeming event to take place in your perception. So you could have exactly what you need for being released. And you can see how at the same time, it releases all of the other characters, basically the egos that my ego made. Okay. So we get released together, right? It's like the awareness, what's doing the embodiment dance is being released from the ego. We're being released from the ego together. So it's like, he made an ego for himself and he made an ego for everyone else. I made an ego for myself and I made an ego for everyone else. And when our egos interact, that's where the healing takes place. So see, my willingness to not pursue a thought about it is the healing, right? It's like my willingness to not take, and you know, if I'm having trouble, like it seems like it's just so important, I just really need to think about this. That's when I'll start taking the thoughts to the truth, right? We pretty much talk about that in all of the wisdom dialogues. Okay. And that's basically thoughts that are true. Nothing I see means anything is one of my favorite ones. The name of a song too. You guys can look it up. It's by Ben Bigelow. You know, I love the song because it makes it easy. You know, these things are right on the tip of your tongue there. You know, it's like, I see only past. I'm making this up with past thoughts. It's a preoccupation. This is a preoccupation of my mind. That's what's going on. So there's a thought that says this, either my mom, rah, 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 you're just way too good, or Or another thought, you're too weird for them, or whatever. You know, you take that thought to the truth is that I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at here. So these thoughts don't mean anything. See what I mean? And then it's easy. Yes, it's easy. You're easily get out of it easily. You get out of all of it easily. And then it's not weighing on your mind. So it's like, let it come up. Don't try to suppress it. Let it come up. Oh, there it is. Wonderful. Take it to the truth. It doesn't mean anything. It's like, I forget about these things too, because I don't hold on to them, right? I forget about them. I forget about when people don't like me. I mostly remember when people like me. Oh yeah, that person likes me. At least last time I looked. You never know. Things shift. Mostly I see him shifting toward liking me though. Definitely I see that a lot. So I went out to lunch with my friends and their son, and their son is like around my age, maybe a little bit younger than that. Well, they told me before, and I completely forgot about it because I just don't really give a shit about these things and I don't hang on to them, right? That their son and his wife hate me. They hate me. Okay? My friends were like, you got to check this chick out, Hope Johnson. She's fucking awesome. We love her. She's like our guru. I don't know. They probably said something like that. They toss around that kind of word. And they looked me up and they saw that I was doing COVID activism. And woo, apparently some people are conditioned to hate you if you do COVID activism. I'll never listen to her. She's the biggest fucking idiot. Killing people, you're murdering people, but basically. So this is justified, you know, you're murdering people because you're telling them, take that fucking mask off and forget about that fucking vax. You don't need that stuff. Okay, these are meant to poison and dumb your ass down. All right, you don't need these things. I'll say it again. But you know what? Like if people don't want to hear that, it just doesn't even come out, right? So I'm over there eating lunch with the dude. I have no fucking clue he feels this way about me. No idea at all. So he asked his dad afterwards, why was Hope so quiet? Did she know that I don't like her or something like that? He started like giving reasons. I guess he didn't know. He told me before, so he probably thought I knew, like, you know, that he didn't like me. But why was Hope so quiet? Did she know? Maybe he saw Wisdom Dialogues and he expects me to just be talking like that the whole time, all the time. Actually, I've been on real estate caravans and had people like go, hey, you're so quiet. I'm like, yeah, nice to meet you. I'm Hope, you know, like, thanks. Yeah. Like if there's nothing that's inspired to say, I don't feel like I just need to talk for the sake of talking about it, you know, not always is verbalization being called for. Mm-hmm. Anyways, having no idea of any kind of ill feelings, this dude, I know I smiled at him a bunch. I know I hugged him, stuff like that, and made eye contact with him, and pretty much, you know, just like any human, fell in love with him. So, yeah. So my friends told him, she'll talk to you. If you want to talk to her about the COVID activism, you should talk to her about it. You should bring it up. Right. Just because they, you know, then they can see how I am about it. You know, it's like, not like I'm not confrontational. Like if you're telling me that you love COVID vaccines and you love masks, I'm like, go on with your bad self. That is fucking awesome, right? If you tell me I have to wear a mask to come in your house, then I'm not coming in. That's all that. Probably, unless the Holy Spirit tells me to go in. I don't know. I like even that when that comes out of my mouth, I just know that that's false. Right. It's like that's a leaning that I have. Fuck that. Right. That's a leaning. But really, that's, you know, I don't have any leanings myself. That has to be the ego with any leanings. Right. My mom has great stories from when she was a notary during COVID. She would see people in the window. They'd look out with their masks on, looking at her. She's like, I'm not coming in there if I have to wear a mask. They're like, all right, you can come in. We're wearing masks. We'll sit apart from you. That was how I was too. I'm just like, I'm not coming in there. I'm not coming in your store if I can't wear a mask. And one time I just said, I'm not leaving your store until you check me out without a mask. That time the cops came. Yeah. Is that how you met me? Oh my God. It was just so much fun. It's so funny. It's so funny. But also, you know, it taught me even more deeply by going through that experience that none of this shit matters. You know, there's always just some kind of a ego program playing out about how things are so shitty. It's kind of like what the COVID thing was. This is shitty. I can't shop. Things are so different now. I can't shop, but I don't have the, yeah, right? And then so it's like, no, it's not going, no, society isn't going to this. Let me stop this from happening. I'm just going to get out and I'm going to tell everyone. I'm going to give them my pamphlets that explain it really well, what's going on, and how to stay free, right?
Did he end up talking to you?
Oh, yeah. He was super friendly. Yeah, totally. Totally friendly the whole time. Yeah.
But after, did he check in with you about your silence?
Oh, I wasn't silent.
No, but you said that the guy came to dinner and then he was asking why you were so quiet. If he knew it isn't that he should talk to you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see him again since then. But I will see him again, I'm sure. And now I know the situation. I know there's this perception that he might have hated me at one point. That's the situation. It really doesn't mean anything. It's just for fun and play. Right? Hey, I heard you hated me once. Do you still hate me? Yeah, I was feeling rebellious, that's for sure. I was feeling pretty rebellious. Right? At this point, that's different. I'm just don't feel rebellious at all, not in that kind of way. I mean, you might say I'm a little bit rebellious. No, but it wasn't really me rebellious. I think it'd be more like revolutionary. You know, it's just, you know, I just look at how, the way I look at everything, it's just love or call for love, you know, kind of like how A Course in Miracles says that. It just call love or call for love. And just looking at that, even within myself, even when I'm like, oh, shit, my freaking cat is a mess right now. She looks a mess. She's like, fucking looks like she needs something. I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's going to come to me at some point. One of my friends offered some cat medicine and then I was in a Hilo and I'm like, what's that shit called? I'll go pick it up. Oh no, don't go pick it up. Get it from my place. Anyways, I still don't have it. That was last week. You have it for me? All right. So we'll try that shit. And you know, here's the thing about any medications or anything like that. It's a remedy. So it's a tool that your mind can use to manifest as if healing occurred. Okay. It's like a magic trick. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Just take the power away from the particular item. Okay. It's like people pray, like the way Christians do it is they pray for the Lord to work through a medication. And that's really what you would say is the quote unquote proper way of viewing it, that the Lord to work through the medication, rather than this medication having some kind of power, whereas like, if you don't have it, some bad shit is going to go down. So, you know, I'm talking to my cat. I'm like, Candy, I know you're just kidding. Okay. Right. I know you're just kidding. I'm not sure what you're doing here. I'm not sure if you're like trying to play out a death program or something like that, but I know that there's nothing wrong. Okay. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if you like this cat medication, if it seems to come to us. We'll see. For now, you're just one messy ass cat. Wow. Yeah. And you know, it's like the ego will tend to go to how this is fucked up. Why does it have to go to this? You know, why does it have to go to now she's dirty, fucking straggly looking? This is embarrassing. She's an embarrassment. So I know it's comical when you see what the thoughts are that come up, right? It is. It's comical. And it's comical in a way that if you identify with the ego's thoughts, you're going to be embarrassed yourself that you're thinking these things. But if you know it's not you, it's just comedy in your mind, right? And then so it's love extended to my cat, even. Right. And power and power to my cat's mind.
Right.
Like she's just kidding. She's like, okay, here you go, Hope. This is what you apparently fucking need right now. Here's me looking like I'm all fucking straggly and need something that you're not providing to me. Right. And I'm a funny pet owner to most Americans, not to Chaitin. You know, he's from India. He's kind of like, okay, the fact that you even own a pet is fucking weird. Okay. Like you guys put leashes on dogs and walk them to his perspective, from his perspective, that is just fucking weird. Like you just trap this wild animal and now you're going to make it yours. And now you're going to fucking care about it if it's getting sick and dying, which it would normally just do in the wild and no one fucking cares. It's going to occupy your mind all day so you don't have to worry about awakening. It's so good to have different perspectives, you guys, because then you can see how we get locked in to stupidity, right? So I've never been like a cat or dog person, really. Like I grew up with dogs when I was a kid, but the dog was like this thing that was outside. It barked. It was on a leash. Right. Did not come in the house. Right. So now it's like dogs come in my house. Does my living room smell like dog? Yes. According to some of my friends, it sure as shit does smell like dogs. And I've got a diffuser right there where I'll burn doesn't really burn. It's air. Diffusing essential oils. The one I got in there is Malu, by the way, MALU at miraclebotanicals.com. You love it. You love that. You love that. Right in the middle. Oh, here it is right here. Yeah. For those of you who see the video, there it is right there. It is just like a really sweet smelling. Anyways, yes, it smells like dog. And you know, a thought will occur to me that not the Malu. The Malu smells way better than dog. smells like dog in my living room. The dog's in there. He lays around in there. I have it cleaned. Someone professionally cleans the carpet in there. Still, it doesn't matter. It smells like dog. And I run the diffuser. That covers it up pretty well. A lot of the times I don't smell it. So just the sense that it smells like dog in my living room goes to, I hate my life. I mean, if you let it go there,
yeah,
I'm not kidding you guys. Oh, wait a minute. I love my life. That's right. You know why? Because of what it's for. It's not for me getting what I want in it. And that's really not how I would have a kick-ass time anyways, if I got everything the way I want, right? I don't really know what I want. What I want is to have a kick-ass time. I don't know what it takes to get there. Apparently, it takes a room that smells like dog. That's what it takes. Right? Friends that don't have dogs, they would notice it, right? And they're like super sensitive to a dog smell. It's like, really? I've been using my diffuser in there. And it seems, you know, I'll get these wafts that'll be like, oh, that diffuser smells so good. But then when I don't have it on and I'm returning in the morning when it's been closed up, I'm like, whoo, dog. So I could be doing my block therapy like this, thinking about how shitty my life is and how I'm going to not have a dog in the future. As soon as this one croaks, I'm never getting another dog. This was a pattern, like, you know, that I started out with when I was a kid, because I had little brothers and sisters. I was the oldest of six kids, and my mom had six kids in a span of 10 years. My younger brother is 10 years, my youngest brother is 10 years younger than me. And I was taking care of most of them, just not my brother is 2 years younger than me. He was gone all the time. He went off to be a missionary with my dad. And I was with my four younger siblings. Well, I told myself when I was 12, I'm not having kids. I'm totally missing my childhood right now. And I am going to have my childhood after I'm done with this fucking life. Right. So, I mean, there were all kinds of different ways of perceiving that I was playing with throughout my childhood. Most people that would see me, they'd be like, wow, she was just always really happy. Like, that's how they would notice. So there's all different kinds of thought currents playing and weaving at the same time. It's not just one of them. Right. So that's one that had some pull for me. That thought pattern had some held some interest for me, right? I like that one. That was a good one. So what do? I get pregnant super young. Like I don't feel like I fulfilled that thing, but I'm covering that up for myself. I'm not going into it thinking as that 12-year-old who said that to myself, I'm never having kids. But once I have them, oh, that voice gets really heavy. Like, I fucked up. I said I wasn't going to do this. And look, I did it. I said I wasn't going to. Right? So it's always like, it's going to be better after this. After this point. Right? I'm not going to do it that way. I'm not going to have a dog. They just die within your lifetime. What a pain in the ass is that? Right. They're like pretty much guaranteed unless you like croak first. Someone's dying in the thing. Great. That's every relationship. Isn't that funny? That's how you know it's a dream. But you know, it's not just a dream. It's actually a nightmare, right? The storyline is a nightmare. The storyline is. You can't deny that. Like, truthfully, you can't be truthful with yourself and deny that the storyline is a nightmare. Every single one of these relationships, the way it ends, one of you fuckers dies in a dream.
That's why waking up is the motivation.
Because it's a nightmare, right? Right. He said that's why waking up is a motivation, because this is a nightmare. I mean, that's what the storyline is giving us. So it's like, you know, just notice, okay, that's what we've given us ourselves as a storyline. What are we going to use it for? And then there's a lot of joy in it, because you can see that it's not really, no one's really dying. It's just a horrific storyline. Yes. Do you want to keep that storyline, or are you willing to be released from it right now? That's the question. That's all. Yes, Amy. Ego tempting, offering a guilty feeling. That's what it is. Ego will tempt you to a guilty feeling fast. What miracle botanicals gets rid of the smell of in-laws? What the heck? Did I say something like that? It gets rid of the smell of in-laws.
The big diffuser.
Industrial. Yeah. But yeah, miracle botanicals is great for that. I mean, I kind of know what you're talking about. Like, you talk about people who wash their clothes in Tide, for instance, right? You know, people who wash their clothes in Tide, a lot of the times they only hang out with other people who wash their clothes in those strong smelling aromas, right? The strong to me, to my nose, unnatural smelling aromas, right? Not saying that that's bad or good or anything like that, but you know, when I smell the smell of Tide, I immediately want a different aroma. So yeah, essential oils do that. You could just stick it right under your nose. You need to go into Normie land where everyone's wearing Tide. You know, you just, yeah. And you know, they're such sweeties. I'm hugging them a lot. Right. And then I'll, and then the smell will remain with me. I'll just do that. I'll put a little essential oil right under my nose and you're good. Golden. You know, if there's any kind of, propensity for your mind to use that aroma as a toxin or as a poison or something like that, let the essential oils instruct otherwise. Right? Because your mind uses these different things, like these natural aromas that your mind is so familiar with, uses them to remind itself of the truth. It's like a subtle reminder, right? And your mind will naturally be programmed to use a substance that's programmed, you know, it's programmed by mankind, which is basically poisoned by a thought, by a meaningless thought. Okay. So these things that are programmed by mankind, who's largely playing out that meaningless thought, is already, your mind is already programmed to use it in a certain way. So it's like, you know, with consciousness, whatever it is, even if it's a medical thing, you know, notice that it's your mind giving it the power. It's your mind giving it all the power. That's where it's at. Don't take any of the power away from your mind, because your mind is the one making illusions. And, you know, there's a saying, one way you empower, I'm totally paraphrasing, one way you empower the devil, or the best way to empower the devil, is to pretend that he doesn't exist. Well, he doesn't exist in that sense. He exists in the sense that there's this pursuit of thoughts that hurt your mind, that make you weak. That's all. So it's like you're pretending that your mind isn't powerful to make illusions, when you'll just let it go with these thoughts saying that these things, these substances have some kind of power one way or the other. You know, of course, the common thing that quote unquote conspiracy theorists are saying is that people are getting these heart issues after taking the vaccine. So I have a friend who, sure enough, took the vaccine, within 6 months has a heart attack, right? And then goes, well, it really is looking like these conspiracy theorists are correct, because just the sequence of things. It seemed like I was fine, and then all of a sudden I take this shot, and then all of a sudden I have this heart trouble where I have to get something installed in my heart, right? And, you know, it's like, yes, our mind is powerful to make illusions, and it's powerful to make cause and effect seem to be real too, right? But the cause, the actual injection, did not happen in a time other than now. And it did not happen at all, except as a memory that's being projected now to make it seem as if some kind of events took place. So you can see how the mind is using these things to make illusions of harm, you know? So it's like, it's kind of like, it looks like to me, I mean, unless the Holy Spirit instructs me otherwise, it would be stupid and foolish to take one of those vaccines. It would be stupid and foolish to do something like that, just because of the mental space from where it's made. See what I mean? It looks dumb, but still at the same time, it didn't fucking happen. If you got a perception of it occurring, that's also another stupid way that the ego looks at the world, as if cause and effect are the thing. But you can see that if your guidance was to take the vaccine, you know, check in with that. Was there, what was the motivation behind that? What was that motivation? Right? It's just like, look at that and notice how that motivation, kind of motivation, pops up all over the place. It'll be different kinds of things. That same motivation. Is it a fear of being seen as a fucking idiot for not taking the vaccine? right? Because this particular friend, you know, he shared with me, he has the faith for it, for not taking the vaccine. But his family will fucking disown him if he doesn't take the vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, what does that motivate? Does that motivate? See, the thing is, that's also a perception that your family is going to disown you. You know, I've had that perception. I've had that kind of energy play before. Like, I had neighbors who lived next door to me, and, you know, they're sweet to me. They're giving me all this love and attention and affection. And then they go, if you don't vote, we're not friends. And I was like, oh, well, I don't vote. All right, we'll make an exception. So that's too bad. I guess I'll have to find some new friends. In fact, here's the thing, you know, to me, voting is like saying, yes, I support this system as a reality, like this system that most of the world is making into something. I support this as my reality. And here's who I want to be in charge of this thing. It's so funny. Can you imagine just one day no one even shows up to the polls? Oh, it will occur. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, here's the thing. If you can imagine it, it'll occur.
Yes.
It has occurred. It's just a matter of seeing it. That's all. Right. So, yeah, for sure. It's like no one even shows up. It's like every eye will see, right? Every eye will see that this is a dream that we made and we don't have to keep on supporting it. That's one way, you know, for me, of course, again, if the Holy Spirit says you're fucking voting, I'm voting. You know, why would the Holy Spirit say you're voting? Maximally beneficial, because maybe just standing in that line, maybe you're going and you're like, okay, all right, I'm voting. Okay. All right. This is gay, but here we are. And you're just and you're just being in the line. You're able to have you're able to have whatever. And this is how it always is. And you might exit that line. You don't even know. You're just there. You're just showing up there. You just happen to be there. Sometimes people will be like, what are you doing here? I'm standing. Mm-hmm. Standing here. Are you on your way somewhere? No, I just stopped here. Stand here. Who are you voting for? I don't know. I'm interested to see. I'm interested to find out. Right? And, you know, I know when the Holy Spirit is speaking because it's inspiration. It's an inspired. It was obvious when it was time for activism. And it was obvious when it was time to stop that too. It was just like, really, it's like, wow. It's like, it showed me, okay, you can hear the guidance. So there's nothing else to do. There's really nothing else to do. Before you can hear your guidance, there's nothing else to do but learn how to hear your guidance, mm-hmm. Right? Some of the things we do here at Wisdom Dialogues is about getting you to the point where you can hear your guidance, right? Pointing out different thoughts that are meaningless so you can get some space. You need some space to hear your guidance, right? Pointing out how you could take thoughts that are super loud and gnarly, seems like you just can't get out of them, how you can take them to thoughts that are true. right? This will help you more and more to hear and know. You just know, right? When the inkling first started coming to me about activism, for instance, it seemed like a huge no for my ego. Huge no. For one, what will people think? It'll be like I'm making this thing real. Right? And so like, no, you're fucking doing it. You're going to show how to do it from a different perspective. There's plenty of people who want to do this activism, who need to do this activism. You're going to show them how to do it with a little more grace. In a more relaxed way. Right? And humble when you go talk to people on the street. I was doing business education and recording it. Humble when you go talk to people who have a different point of view. Right? You're not getting in any fights. But also not backing down. It's like when the Holy Spirit says, this is your task. You're like, fuck yeah. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm living right now. This is fucking awesome. My life is awesome because of what it's for. Right? At that time, it turned into meetings and rallies and all different kinds of interesting things. Oh, how fun. Paul, you have something. Noel, I love you. Kim, I love you too. Thank you. Thank you so much. Paul, so if I am projecting a movie where I am the character and you and everyone else is a character, I make up and project. Meanwhile, you are also projecting a movie where I am a character you are making up. Yes, that's right. And it's based on my ego. Okay, so basically my ego is this collection of thoughts. It doesn't really exist. It's really a collection of thoughts that define this self-image that I'm projecting. And that's also like a filter for me. So I can gather the energy that you're projecting and make it apply to me. Okay, that's how it is. That's how the egos are interacting on this plane. That's what's going on. Egos are interacting. So it's fun when you know it's all love. It's just be really playful with it. So there are multiple apparent movies being made up on the spot. Yes. Like multiple movies being projected all at the same time. Yes, that's right. From different perspectives. Yep. Or is there a real movie? No, there's nothing here. There's really nothing here. There's not a real movie. Right. So that's why, gosh. Evidence changes, evidence on nutrition that changes all the time. Like if you've been around a little bit, then you see, okay, I remember when I was a little kid, eggs were super healthy. And then when I got to be a little bit of a bigger kid, eggs were like the worst because they had cholesterol in them and they were bad for you. And if you eat them, you're going to get fat too, because they got fat in them. Right. So then eggs are bad. And then eggs come back out again as being this, even though it is that kind of cholesterol that we've labeled as bad cholesterol, saturated fat, it's actually protective. I don't know if you guys have all had the same kind of perception, but this is my perception of the journey of the egg over time about whether it's good for you in mainstream and whether it's not. Of course, vegans, they're totally not. Yeah. it's just whatever information we have gathered, most of it's gathered when we're super young and we just keep on repeating it, right? Most of what we have, whatever we gather, and it just keeps on going over and over again. So this repeats about these things being unhealthy. You know, I could see when I was a kid and I got the sense that anything that I wanted, most things that I wanted to eat were going to be fattening. pretty much anything that I really wanted to eat was going to be fattening. So I needed to look for substitute foods because I didn't have a fast metabolism and I was just going to get fat, whatever I ate. Right. So it occurred to me standing in Costco one day, what if the things that I really like to eat were actually the things that would make me healthy and in good shape and the perfect weight and all of that stuff. And yeah. And I was like 17 at the time. Right. And all the talk was about that. All the talk. And I mean, all how many calories it had, how, what you're going to do to burn those calories off, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I knew that there was a possibility, just an inkling of a possibility for a different way of being with food. And then sometime, I think maybe it was in my 40s or 30s, I don't even remember, I looked up and I go, that has become the reality for me. That, you know, that little, see, that little bit of willingness at 17, even though I couldn't see how that could be possible. It's like you offer that little bit about it being a different way and you don't just close in on that way you were taught, right? So I see people in my real estate office now and they have a really different perspective of what it means to get healthy. There's the sense that, you know, they're really far from it right now, right? That's the sense that they have. And how can we get better? Okay, first thing is drink more water. So they've got these really frail plastic filtered with additives water bottles that they're chugging to make sure they get the adequate amount of water. And, you know, someone like me who's been, you know, conditioned a little bit different, actually looks at water in a certain way. Like there's water and there's water, right? It's like, it's like, wow. It's like, it seems like there's like a long way to go with all of the different things that we know about to make it to, ah, I feel like I'm in a healthy vibe. But really, it's the mind projecting, because here's what's going on in there. There's all these things that you might call junk food in there. For one, there's peeps today, those little peep things, little marshmallow thingies. And then all these other different things on there. And, you know, and the projections that go to that food is it's bad food. So number one, I'm like, okay, so it's one thing you're going, okay, that's bad food over there. But at least once you're getting it close to, you know, it's going down, about to go down your throat, just, you know, see if you can look at it in a different way. Like it's really nourishing, right? Is it just being open to seeing things in a different way?
Blessing right. The food.
Right. Blessing the food. And that's actually going to help you to eat less of things that are in that kind of vibe, because it's a vibe that's attracting here. Mm-hmm. There's no food, actually. It's not even really food. Okay. There may be food in these packages that are largely made with number one priority being a profit and intentionally putting things in there that you know, you yourself might not want to eat, but you're fine with, you know, or whatever the situation. You know, it's like, that's why I like, you know, fresh organic kind of stuff. I go for that kind of stuff. Wild fish where, you know, the fishermen are like these artisan fishermen and they're like, this is their craft and they love it. And they're out there and they're, you know, praying in whatever way they do and whatever, you know, and having a loving kind of meaningful in that way, using the illusion for what it's more, for what it's meant to be used for, than this idea where a lot of the world seems to be running right now, that just sacrifice all your values, sacrifice what you use this, what you would use this illusion for, to get what you want in the world, right? Sacrifice what you really want to get what you think you want in the world, really, because it's only leading toward death. It's not going to anything good. You hear these stories. One of the stories that's up right now is about P. Diddy. You guys hear about P. Diddy? Any P. Diddy news? You guys are fucking, this is great. So anyways, no, none of the people in the studio audience heard of what's going on, apparently, with P. Diddy. Anyways, I seem to like need to see about P. Diddy because it comes across my feed all the time. I must have read it at one point. They're like, oh, she's interested. And then I keep on reading and they're like, oh, she's really interested. Let's give her some more P. Diddy stuff. Anyways, I always use all the stories that come into my experience as a mirror reflection, right? So I can see like, what is this showing me, right? And I don't know like about what P. Diddy's fucking experience is or anyone else's experience or whether any of that thing, it rings true for stuff that they're saying about him rings true for him. Apparently he's like doing sex things and him and Justin Bieber and all kinds of different things. To me, it's just all fake anyways. It's just all nothing. I have no idea, like, even if, like, that's even a possibility in his mind. But anyways, the way it presents itself to me is that it looks like it's like these vibes where you get into these parties where you end up taking some kind of drugs and doing some interesting things and doing illegal things with each other and then having that kind of stuff recorded and then blackmail and then acting things out. And that's why, you know, on the stage, people on the stage, all kinds of famous people, not necessarily actors and stuff like that, but large activists and stuff like that, they'll make certain signs where they'll cover one eye. One of the signs is covering one eye and have that come into a picture. And it's some kind of a sign that we're all doing this together. We're in this together. Like we're all covering for each other. We're all covering each other's asses. So for me, that's symbolic of how the ego will tempt you to agree that you're guilty, like you really did something. So now the ego has something over you. You got the perception of, let's say, having sex with someone underage. Now, you know, I could say as someone who has had the experience of being an underage person and having sexual relations with people who are older than me, it sucks. It's not something that I would want anyone to do. Okay. It's not something, I'm not saying anything like that. And at the same time, this kind of thing holds a very heavy, heavy shame weight for people. So people need to be released from it if they're getting the perception that they did something like that. Because getting the perception that you have done something like that and feeling very guilty and shameful for it actually locks you into a pattern of repeating it. So this is the situation. You end up in a pattern of having to repeat it. Now it's almost like you're in agreement with the other people who feel that guilty because they have the same kind of shameful perception in their own mind. And it ends up in this really, you know, deceitful kind of relating that people do with each other. And, you know, all of this for me is a self-reflection. Once again, I'm saying none of this stuff actually occurred. Mm-hmm. It didn't actually occur. P. Diddy is presenting in my dream. And the way that he does is because that's perfect for me. Mm-hmm. Right. So the story of it, when I first saw the story of it, I'm pretty sure it came across Facebook and it was just like a video of like a SWAT team, some kind of SWAT team. It was like Homeland Security or something, pulling his grown kids out of their house, like in handcuffs. They have the guns and everything. They've orchestrated the media coming to film the whole thing. It was like a whole drama thing. And I go, I bet you someone's afraid that he's going to say something right now. I bet you that's the situation. Someone's just afraid he's going to say something right now. So then it brings up, there's all these dirt on all these Hollywood actors, and not just Hollywood actors, also all kinds of different famous kinds of people, because they're meant to be controlled in this dream by the elite, let's say the elite. And it's weird because it sounds like it's such a woo-woo conspiracy thing to be saying, but in this dream, this kind of thing has a hold on the mind. right? This kind of thing has a hold on the mind, and knowing that it's projecting from our own mind, seeing that it's projecting from our own mind, noticing how we play into similar patterns, not to that extent, maybe. Not to that kind of extent, maybe. And then maybe you have engaged in a situation where you seem to be abusing other people, and there's people involved with it, with that too. And everyone in that field thinks that it's okay, and also keeps on doing it over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. So what you really want when you get a filthy, guilty feeling, right? When you get that sensation, what you really want is you want to be released from it. And part of that is changed behavior. So now you're not in your dream harming people anymore, right? So that's what you really want. You want changed behavior, but it doesn't seem possible for you if you're locked into some kind of guilty thing. And this could be any kind of guilty thing. I point to that one. I point to the pedophile / molestation one, because I'm seeing that at least in my dream, that seems to be the hardest for people to forgive, mm-hmm. right? Especially if they've had that kind of experience where they've perceived themselves going through that. And I know the statistics were, at least when I was growing up, and who knows, that's just what they're saying, but it was like 3 in 4 girls were molested when they were kids. There were 3 in 4 in the United States were when they were kids. And, you know, it kind of was at that time, at least the perception was that the men were all in agreement that that was okay if they were a sexy kid. Like, that was only okay. Chayden's cracking up because he's like, how do you find one of those? Like, how do you find a sexy kid? Right? You know, for some people, they just find kids really sexy. Right? And really, the reason that they are finding the kids sexy, it's because of this desire to manifest a guilty conscience. Okay, so this is why they even find him attractive in this first place. Oh, we love you, Constance. Constance says, hello, my beautiful friends. You've had the exact same perception about eggs, Lori. And they took red M&Ms out of the bags from the red dye because it caused cancer for a bunch of years. I can't believe any of it. Yeah. Isn't that fun? Oh, Constance is saying she's inundated with P. Diddy too. P. Diddy, I think, is on Facebook. Like, if you're on Facebook, but then I think Birdie's on Facebook. She has seen no P. Diddy. She probably doesn't respond to the clickbait like we do, Constance. the way I use it, it's really fun for me because I'll see, ooh, this story feels juicy for me. That means it has something for me. It has reflections for me. So that's the juiciness of it. It's not because I want to make gossip about P. Diddy. Oh, can you believe that fucking P. Diddy being a fucking whatever? I don't even know. But I know that this is the scenario, the story, the stories and things that come to me, they're maximally beneficial. Yeah. And that's why it's awesome. And Jill says it's in her feed too. P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, all of it. No P. Diddy for Lori. Lori is P. Diddy free. She doesn't even know how to spell P. Diddy. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm getting the memes. I'm getting the funniest memes, P. Diddy memes. Oh, my gosh. It's just like, yeah, he's a rapper, right? He was Puff Daddy back in the day, right? Yeah, he's been around for a while. Like, I've heard of him for a while. I know that. Yeah, I don't know what those algorithms are, but they're working. They're working. Constance says she's not bothered. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not bothered by it at all. It's interesting to me. It's like I feel like I have a little bit of background on that whole scene. Right. It's like I have some background on the scene, and it's basically a scene of essentially selling your soul to the devil. OK, Essentially, that's kind of like what the scene is. It's like, okay, you're a bad person and we're a bad person and we all have all this dirt on each other. Now we're going to see how we can maneuver and manipulate and try to control one another is basically the scene. All right. And get them while they're young, get them to do something really shameful when they're young, 15-year-old, stuff like that. You know, Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon is totally like getting all kinds of, if you don't know Nickelodeon, that was a fun kids channel where they'd like drop slime on their heads and stuff like that. Well, it comes out that it was a total like pedophile thing and all those kids, you know, but see what the way the ego looks at it, the ego didn't know these things were going to be coming out because the ego looks at it like, we'll just hold consciousness right here. But see, consciousness evolves. Yeah. So it's like these kids that were growing up, now they're saying, he did this. They were doing cum jokes. They're showing how they were doing cum jokes on Nickelodeon. And it's actually made with kids in the show, for kids, by kids. It was a total molester society, right? The same thing with like my stepdad. It's like he didn't expect that I would come forth with it because I was involved in the shamefulness, right? I even did some things willingly, right? I was involved in the shamefulness. That's how it's played. That's how it's played out. I saw it on the scale that I grew up with in my experience. I see that that's also on a grand scale. It was actually in the entertainment. It was actually like put into there. That's why the adult men, most adult men, and I mean most of them, it was rare to meet a dude like Tony or a dude like my biological father. It was rare to meet a guy like that who actually was not interested in fucking kids. Right. So, and you know, and there's like all kinds of gay stuff with the younger kids and stuff like that. Boys, girls, whatever, it just doesn't matter. It's like imbued into the culture, into the society. So someone like me, you know, it's like as my consciousness is expanding, I'm saying, fuck no, I'm breaking out of this. You know, my mom's going, shh, don't say anything. What we do is we just keep you away from them because, you know, you could be seen as tainted or something like that. Like now you're not so eligible for a mate, to say it from like a really primal, like fucking, yeah. Or, you know, now you're not going to survive because you've been tainted. You know, your virginity was taken by your stepdad. That's gross. Right. So I'm like, no, fuck that. I tell anyone. Like I just tell random people. I'd be on a plane. I tell the person on the sitting next to me on the plane, you know, I was like, hey, I just want people to know that stuff is like, you know, fuck that stuff. That's the way I looked at it. Right. At that point, you know, it was like, I just felt like giving a voice to it was going to be helpful. So that's the kind of path I went. And now what I see is, and look at how the dream is. To me, I was like, I was the first one in my dream. I wasn't a me too. In my dream, I was the very first one to ever come forth with something so horrific like that. Right. Or my mom saying, you don't want to press charges or anything like that, because, you know, his family will probably kill you. And the story is right now that he actually stopped some family members from coming over and killing my family. That's a story that I heard like a couple of years ago. Oh, that's nice. Thanks for doing that. Well, thanks a lot. Right. So it's like what I saw in the microcosm of my immediate situation with my stepdad and pretty much any dudes that came around me, with the exception of a few, was that, you know, that's just how it is. You just, if you're a cute chick, you just get molested and then you be quiet about it. Right. And I go, oh, fuck that. But yeah, it's like we're all having our own movies. And my stepdad was building up shame from having these experiences, like he's doing something to me, right? Experiences like he's harming me. Like your mind, you can't help it. you're going to feel ashamed anytime your ego hurts another ego. You're going to feel ashamed. Okay. And the reason is so that you can be released from what's making you manifest that kind of behavior. So you can release from that shame. Okay. But not knowing that that's the case, you're trying to run from the shame. You're trying to run away from it, but you're holding it at the same time. That's making you hold it. So now what karma he's playing out, and the only reason it's karma is because he would hold on to it. Otherwise, that's nothing, right? Is that he needs to be abused at the end of his life, right? He won't accept the easy, worthy, what he really would prefer. It's like a program just being played out that's totally unloving toward him, right?
Not ready for a block yet.
What's that?
Saying he's not ready for
a block. He's not ready for a block at all. No, he's definitely not ready for a block, right? So... one, selling your soul to the devil is basically saying, okay, I agree, I'm dirty. What do you want me to do? Because I'm just locked into this now, right? I was talking with one of my friends who I found out recently that she's been sending naked pictures to her father, right? She's in her 20s and he disapproves of her sexual escapades, or he acts like he does toward her. And then he asks her for pictures to basically like appease him. So it'll be okay with him if she does her things, if she shares the pictures with him, right? So I find this out from a third party. My friend's too embarrassed to tell me, maybe. I don't know why. She didn't tell me. Anyways, I find this out from a third party. And I said something about it, kind of like joking around. And she's like, oh, they told you about the pictures. And I go, yeah. and she's like, yeah, it's just funny how I just didn't know that that wasn't normal. And I go, well, it's not really about being normal or not. It's like, how does it feel to you? Right? If it's filthy, if it feels filthy and disgusting, just tell him, you know what, Dad? I know I've been sending you nude pictures, but I'm not going to do that anymore. That's all. I'm not doing that anymore. Yeah, my sexual escapades and all that stuff, that's like not really any of your business. Right? Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for asking me for the nude photos. You're awesome. I love you. You know, it's like we don't have to keep on playing into it. There's a vibe. That's what I noticed from the experience, the molestation experience. Because, you know, sometimes I would play into the vibe and other times I wouldn't. That's what I noticed. I mean, there were some characters where I would just go into a totally different kind of vibe and not get molested, right? And then there were other characters where I would go into a kind of vibe with them where I would get fearful, or I would think I wanted something, I could get something, right? One of them was freedom, right? Freedom from having to stay in the house all the time and washing and cleaning and watching kids and changing diapers. Freedom, getting to go outside and play with my friends and be a kid a little bit, right? So, okay, you use that to get what you wanted. Now you're part of it. It's like, this keeps on going. And, you know, it took me several years and it took me till I was 15. And I finally go, whoa, I'm just going to say something now. And it was like coming through like molasses to just say something. This is what has been going on, right? Just so that it could like dissipate. And it did. It never happened again after that. Mm. It never occurred again in my dream. Once it was just spoken, hey, this is what's been going on. But the way most people would do it is take that information to the grave, right? Literally, freaking kills them. They end up in all kinds of pain, right? Yeah. That's what all pain is, guilt. And toward the end of people's lives, their apparent lives, they tend to project a lot of pain onto themselves. Mm. It's like all these guilty things that are unresolved are added up, and it's going through this program. It's like a dying program. It's like a decision. Well, it is a decision. Okay, I'm running this program now. You could see that with my stepdad. It's just a program. And the same thing with those vibes. Where you get into a situation with someone because you think that they're powerful. They can get you what you want. You're out of it instantly when you just recognize what it is. You're out of it in an instant. It's like, oh, I'm not playing that. I read one article from a Christian rapper. Right. So he's gone to some of these parties where this stuff is happening. And he's like, I'm just going to say that what goes on in there is pure evil. Well, he said, like, goes on in there, it's pure evil. Right. I don't know. I didn't get into like the specifics of it. But here's something that he said that was really profound for me, was that you have a choice if you want to participate. Right? No one's making you participate. But here's the thing. You don't have a choice in what you do. If you're succumbing to that, you need this fame or you need this opportunity, you're going to automatically find yourself doing things that would seem like they would be against your normal values. Just to participate, just to be one of the peeps that participates in these things. So you'll find yourself, you know, peer pressure kind of thing. Reminds me of that song. Mama told me not to come. You know that one? That ain't the way to have fun, son. I told you I just sing randomly. Paul, who's on here, gave me voice lesson one time. He asked me if I sing. I go, I just randomly sing sometimes. I'm like, not trying to sound like I have a good voice or something, but you know, songs just like seem to come up at a certain time where they just like fit right in to what I'm talking about. Oh, that song. That's what he was talking about. Close that window, sucker, or open that window, sucker. Let me say, open that window, sucker. Let me catch my breath. He's like at a crazy wild party. Doing all this blow, whatever. Then start blaming all of their actions on the blow. Will you shut that right there? No. And thank you. Which Miracle Botanicals gets rid of the smell of... Oh, that's what he said. Which Miracle Botanicals gets rid of the smell of in-laws? Oh, yeah. Tide. That's what it reminded me of. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Paul, who's on here commenting on here, he does voice lessons and he's very good and sweet and patient. And he taught me some cool shit. Thank you, Paul. So, okay, back to what I was first talking about at the very beginning. It just flashed back in my mind.
Conflicts.
Conflicts. That's right. Now we're back to that. She loves that one. So a friend was telling me about how she felt really loving toward this person who basically cut her off. The person cut her off and cut her off from seeing her grandchild. Okay. It was kind of like, fuck you. Never want to see you again, but get the fuck out of here. So my friend really wants to see her grandchild. Apparently she seems to be easing up on that. Just realizing that these bodies are not for what you think they're for. Okay. If you're not the granddaughter, you're not seeing is the granddaughter you don't need to see, but she's my only granddaughter. That's okay. You really don't need that. Okay. So she was feeling really loving toward this person who's not letting her see her granddaughter. And she decided to send her a text and tell her no matter what, she will be her greatest teacher. And she appreciates her so much. And she read me the text. And I was, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, that is so sweet. Like if someone said that to me, they really felt like I was such a challenge for them, but they were willing to see through it like that. Yeah. I would be like, oh, that is so sweet. Thank you so much. Well, that wasn't the same. That's not how it quite went over with the other chick. Right. So what happened in that situation was a total railing to my friend. You need to be asking forgiveness from the people that you hurt is what she's telling them. Right. You need to be asking forgiveness from the people that you hurt. She doesn't understand this language. Saying thank you. You're my greatest teacher. You're giving me the opportunity to learn forgiveness. Right. So to a normie, it's not doing a Course in Miracles. It's not going to be like, oh, thank you. That is really wonderful. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for looking at it like that. Right. That's how I feel about it. But someone who's not versed like that is going to feel really offended and just like really pissed off, actually. And, you know, there's a learning curve here where, you know, you learn how to listen as far as what words you would use to communicate with them, right? You learn how to listen closely to what words do they actually, I know this feels great for you to say, oh, wow, I really feel so good. I feel so loving. I feel so great that I said that thing. But is it helpful for them, right? And how do you know? This is it's like training on how to listen to the Holy Spirit. How do you know you weren't quite listening? You get a reaction like that. That's how you know. It's not bad. It's not like you failed. That's how you know. That's how you learn. It's going through this where, you know, and you as you are, you don't have anything to learn. You're not learning anything. As an ego that you made and that you identify, this needs to be learned. It needs to be learned. Okay. So it's an ego that's learning. Right.
She's exactly adding what she's actually asking for.
What's that?
The teaching continues, right?
Yeah.
This person is still being the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Providing the opportunity.
Exactly.
That she's looking for.
Right.
That's like, exactly. Boom, you want it?
Here you go. Here's one more. Fuck you and quit texting me, too. I don't ever want to hear from you again. I go, well, I don't think that chick needs to hear from you again anytime in the near future. But, you know, what do I know? If she does hear from you, then she does need it. Right. What are you sniffing? Is it a relaxation oil? Yes, this is Malu. I showed it a little bit earlier. And it is my Serenity blend. It's actually it's a copy, as essential oils are anyways, a copy of doTERRA's blend called Serenity. Someone asked me if I would make an oil blend with the exact same ingredients, and that's what I did. I just used my own ratios, which apparently is a heck of a lot better than doTERRA's, according to me and my friends. Okay, sorry, doTERRA. Oh, no, you're doing awesome, Jill. Whenever you come on is perfect. We love it. And, you know, I'm always happy to plug Miracle Botanicals again. speaking of that, I've got a couple of places for sale right now. One of them is a piece of land in Hawaiian Shores. It's about a quarter acre, $24,500. It was cleared in 2019. It's close to the ocean. I think it's super magical. Look on my Hope Johnson Realtor to see a cute little video that I just did about it. My first real estate video. Yeah, I did a cute little moving kind of video thing. Also, I have signed coming up. It's not listed yet. You're hearing it first. And everyone else I've told it to. Volcano, $1.3 million. This place is like a nice compound for having like retreats and stuff like that. Or we were thinking if you're a gay couple, you'd probably like it. We usually see gay people buying stuff like this. So, you know, it's only 2-bedroom, 1-bath permitted. And then there's a cabin out to the side, really nice cabin where 1 or 2 more people could stay there. You could build it out more for more retreaty type things, but there's like a sauna, there's a wood fired hot tub. It's got amenities. It's got really nice stuff. So if you're interested in that, reach out to me too. Yeah, it's fun. I'm loving being a real estate agent. I'm having such a good time, but I'm taking it kind of slow. I just got another buyer signed up who I'm taking out looking for property tomorrow. And I'm not trying to get like actively trying to get customers. But, you know, if you know me and you know you want to do a deal with me, I'm like, I'm stoked. I love this. Or like if you know someone, you're like, this person needs to hang out with Hope. They'll have a good ass time. I love this too. I'm just not like okay, I got to fill my pipeline like a normal real estate agent is. I'm just kind of like, let's check this out. Let's see what kind of cool deals we can do and stuff like that. So I got the, you know, I got these two deals going right now. If you guys think of anything, anyone wants to, buy any of those kind of lots, let me know. One's a bare lot. One's got all kinds of things on it. Yay. Ego tempting, offering a guilty feeling. Okay. Oh yeah. I read that earlier. Okay. What else did I see here? Oh yeah. Yes, it is fun. Thank you, Jill. I appreciate that. Yeah, it is. It's really fun. Just, you know, the connections I get to make with people, that's really nice. One of my friends who it's my first deal that I closed, it was a buyer rep, you know, she said that she really saw like something that I've been teaching about is that, you know, you don't have to stress out about anything. There's not real problems. So when I was her real estate agent, and then she had these things come up where she would perceive them as a problem, where I'm not perceiving anything as a problem, right? I'm just able to handle things and make it super easy for her. So, you know, when she's having apparent problems come up in her apparent life and making them very real, and I'm just going, look, they're not real problems. The reason they seem overwhelming and it seems like it's hard to deal with is because you're making them into real problems. If you don't do that, then there's nothing overwhelmed. It's just the ego. If you're overwhelmed by the world, let's say the IRS and their shit. If you start looking at that stuff, I was telling my friend, you know, I've got a bookkeeper and I've got an accountant. I pay a bookkeeper monthly, like almost $500 a month. And I pay an accountant like thousands of bucks every year just so that the IRS can get their thing done. Right. Like, and I was like, if it weren't for the IRS, would I be doing that shit? Probably not. I don't give a shit about all that financial stuff. I'm like, do I have the money to do that? Okay, let's do it. You know, like that. It's set up so that it seems like a lot. It's set up to seem like it's overwhelming, like this world is too much. But the thing is, you're not doing anything. And everything that needs to get done will get done through you as it needs to. So whenever, you know, I would catch my client's vibe of stress, right? I would just neutralize it. Because when I get a perception of her being stressed, I can sense it in my system. It's coming for me, actually. That interpretation is coming for me, right? So that is the what's met with compassion, the sense of an upset feeling, just the sense of an upset feeling, okay? So I can meet it with love and that, and also ability, apparently, to get things done. See? But don't be concerned if you seem to be overwhelmed by the world and you're going through that phase. I'm just telling you, you know, there's a way that you are going to see through it. And so you can lean in that direction of just being able to handle whatever it is. The other day, I'm sitting at my computer and my son goes, wow, mom, you got a lot going on. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I think I was on Cape Chamomile Essential Oil right there. And I go, yeah, I was just on this product. And I noticed I wanted to upgrade the product listing. And then I realized I wanted to upgrade the article that went along with it. He's like, oh man, you got a lot of shit. And you're just like sitting there all calm. And yeah, because I know I don't really have to do it. So whatever I'm inspired to, there's always like so much stuff I could be doing. But whatever I'm inspired to do, that's how it is. And really, circling back to the conflict thing, if you're just in harmony, whatever it is that you seem to be doing and not projecting shame onto yourself, right, then you're not going to be getting into conflict either. You're not going to be needing to bust out in conflict. So I shared with you earlier about one of my friends who busted out and just punched her brother, right? And then she felt so shameful about that. And, you know, it's just like not seeing these thoughts of hatred toward yourself. And, you know, the funny thing is, the big issue is, I guess the perception is her little brother was choking her dad out because he doesn't get enough screen time. I go, easy fix. Give that fucker all the screen time he wants. It's so funny. Oh, but I've seen when he's doing screen time, he gets really mean. And I go, well, that's your interpretation that the screen time is doing it to him. You must not trust yourself on the screen. You're right. I don't. That's all it comes down to. So see how the gentleness, it's always for yourself. Yeah. It's like whatever amount I am on the screen, that's the amount that I need to be on the screen. And really, that's the way that you're going to start seeing that you can just live off of inspiration. You know, just letting yourself experience what is it like to get more screen time than what feels inspired. What is it like? What does it feel like? Let me get a good sense of that. Let me get a good taste of that. Okay, I spent more time on the screen than what felt inspired. I can tell. Awesome. Move on. The learning is happening automatically. It doesn't mean it was wrong that you were there. You're just getting the experience of what it's like to pursue something when it's not inspired. It's like this guilty, mindless kind of doing, a program doing. Here I am doing the program doing. I've seen myself do it a bunch of times. I don't mind. All of a sudden, like, first, I'm purposefully on the internet doing something. And then all of a sudden, I see things just start. I'm just moving. Why am I moving around on the internet? What am I doing? It's a program. It's okay. You're seeing programs. You're learning how to see programs playing out. This is awesome. You're learning how to see cycles in humanity. If you're looking at Facebook or something like that, you're watching cycles. It's research, right? So how you would use it. Are you trying to be right? Are you on social media trying to be right? What are you doing there? Paul says, I have a friend. He wants to know if you have any tips on how to get lucky with the opposite sex from a spiritual perspective, apparently. Well, essential oils, my friend. Essential oils. I'm telling you, I have had some friends, especially around here, right? Some of these people can get stinky. They're afraid of deodorant, right? Yeah, I see the point in that. No one wants to just rub aluminum on their underarms every day, all day long, right? No one's asking for that except the people who are asking for that. So they just stop putting anything on. I've been there. Now, essential oils, they smell amazing and they seem to work with firmarones. Right. So it's like it enhances that stuff instead of covering it up. And, you know, chicks, I mean, one of my friends, he was on the spiritual scene, right? He's like, He's like, I like these essential oils. So then he gets a few essential oils. He starts pulling them out. Oh, women come around when I pull these out. Oh, I'm the good smelling guy with a bag of essential oils. Oh, shit. Look at that. Now I got to pick which ones and try not to be overly polyamorous for people who are getting their feelings hurt and stuff like that. Because I smell so good all the time. Right? I mean, my husband, Tony, I've had guys tell me, man, I'm not a homo, but when I smell him, I'm just kind of like, I'm like, I know that's the best smelling dude. He's just constantly putting essential oils on himself. And yeah, chicks like it. I know, speaking as a chick. Anyways, you love how I plug my business on your question? Well, really, you know, essential oils too. It's like they have a message for you. Okay. They have a message for you, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is that you're going through, feeling like you're, not good enough for the opposite sex. I got a sense from you earlier, smooth and helpful. Nice. I got a sense from you earlier, that maybe it was another show where you got the sense that you weren't quite up to snuff for a certain caliber of spiritual woman that you would be looking for. Right. I don't know. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I got that kind of interpretation. And so what I would say on that is take those thoughts to the truth, because these women that seem to be out of your league, so to speak, you're making it like that to perpetuate a thought that you're whatever. Yes. I mean, I will tell you, I have seen some of the most mismatched looking couples. Uh-huh. All right. It's like, whoa, how the fuck did he score her? Really? Like, geez. She's laughing because she probably knows who the fuck I'm talking about. Or she has her own idea. So yeah, it's totally like this. Number one, the opposite sex partner you don't have is the opposite sex partner you don't need right now. Really, this is big because there's so much that goes on this kind of play, right? Like, you need that to be happy. It's it's really something to get focused on seeing through, because this hurts your mind. Really, this person's going to come rushing right in when you don't need it. When you don't believe that you need it, if you need it, really, really, they're going to come rushing right in if you need it. If you don't need it and you realize that you're going to get exactly what you need, you're not going to give a shit that no one's there. The body I don't have is the body I don't need. I don't need that body. That's the thing. We get attached to these bodies. We want a body hanging around, right? I don't know. Get a heating pad if you're cold in your bed or something. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's just what, that's the way I look at life. Like, as it comes down, it's always perfect for me. If I have a partner, if I don't have a partner, it's always perfect for me. You know, I've had friends tell me, you always seem like you're on top of the world. What is it? And they try to look to my life, but it's no, I'm just like that about everything. Everything's awesome to me. Right. And even when it feels like it's not awesome, like dog smell in the living room, right? It's nothing to make conflict about. You know how it would make conflict is if I go on that train about that being shitty. Right. It always gets projected on my husband. Like, yeah, it always gets projected. It'll be him. Yeah. He's the one who has fucked everything up. But you know what's funny? You know what's funny? I haven't seen that pattern be any kind of meaningful to me since maybe like September or something like that, which is a long time. That's quite a while for me to not even see that pattern come up. I just watch these patterns that I used to play into just getting shorter and getting to where they're further apart. They're coming up further apart. What's the core thought that generates the apparent need? Well, you think that you are not good enough. You are not enough. So what you're looking for is to try to give away this shit person that you don't think is enough in exchange for someone else, for that other body, right? You're trying to do a bargain. You're trying to make a bargain. So it's like, you're not enough just as you are. It's as if you need something. And it's a, like, you know, this feeds into this manifesting vibe, thinking we know what we want and we know what we need to manifest. Right? Isn't that fun? He said, dang. So. And you don't even have to masturbate. I mean, you can. You can. I mean, it is. And, you know, you will find yourself like that if you need to. You really can't help it. But, you know, you don't need sex. It's funny. Like what we really want when we're looking for sex, we're looking for that close connection, even the kissing, just that close connection with another body. It feels so nice and everything. We're looking for something else. That's meant to be a substitute for what we're really looking for. Okay. So don't let it become a substitute for you. If you find yourself in that situation, by all means, enjoy it. But the longing for it and the pining for it, that's just saying, it's telling your mind over and over again that what you seek is in this world. And that's a dying thought. So hooray. Yay. Let's think living thoughts, shall we? And not be in any kind of conflict. Right. So yeah. I learned recently about listening more closely so that the people that I'm sharing with are actually understanding me, right? I want to be understood, but I can't do that if I'm just trying to like feel good and like my words are my truth, let's say. This was my truth. Well, I don't have my own truth, okay? There's God's truth and the ego's truth, basically. So it's not like I have some kind of my own truth to defend. And that's really when it's coming across defensive like that. This is my truth. You are a good forgiveness opportunity for me. And so I'm grateful for that. And thank you for teaching me how to forgive. And the person's like, you need to be asking me for forgiveness. You fucking hurt me. Right? So. And, you know, recently I shared with you guys, my mom said, hey, Hope, will you please just call your sister and apologize to her? She's really hurt that you guys aren't talking. Right. You know, she told me she doesn't want to talk to me like pretty much ever again, open ended like that. Right. I'm like, OK, well, that's cool. You know, I was getting the sense that I didn't really want to talk to her either. But, you know, it wasn't like I was going to cut her off. It was just kind of like, yeah, I'm not really vibing with her that much, you know. So a year later, my mom finds out that she's hurt, and I find out, oh, she's hurt by that. Okay, I didn't realize she was hurt by that. That's different, you know. So I said, yeah, of course I can apologize. So it was like really a great experience for me because I could apologize in a way that she can understand and also feels true and meaningful from my perspective too. You know, I'm sorry I came across that way, whatever way that was, arrogant, whatever it was. I'm sorry I came across that way. I don't ever want to hurt you. Right. That's something someone can really understand. Right. Instead of, hey, thank you for cutting me off. And you're being such a good teacher for me. And you know, you can see how it could be taken like that. I'm not saying that's how my friend said it. When she read it to me, even with the feeling that she said that she felt it with, I felt, oh, that's so sweet. To me, that's sweet. But it's not for someone who thinks that you have done harm. For someone that thinks that you have done harm, what they normally want, if they're normies, they're not Course in Miracles people. Course in Miracles people, you could say something like, oh yeah, thanks for playing. You know, and they're good. They're all good. Yeah. Thank you. Right. Thank you for being my teacher. And we love it. Right. But when you don't have people who are in that realm and they feel like they need an apology from you, that's how you demonstrate love to them. Right. It's like, yeah, I do. You know, I would love for you to forgive. Like I'm not telling them I don't need your forgiveness. You know, some things are just better left unsaid. Yeah. Right. You don't have to tell me, you know, I don't really need your forgiveness, but I would love to see you forgive because I know that it's going to make you happy and you're going to have a good ass time. So it's like, you know, but we don't have to say, you don't have to divulge all of that.
Yeah.
It's not necessary, right? The main thing is we demonstrate that only love is real. How do we do that? We have to be understood. And what does it take to be understood? You have to be willing to understand, right? Yeah. Why don't they get it? Why don't they get that they're my best forgiveness opportunity? They should be further along in the course than that. Shouldn't she know this by now? When I told my daughter about how my sister took something that I said, my daughter said, "What the fuck? Why does she think like that?" Right? And you know, and the thing is, like, that's a temptation to look at people like that. They think like that because you taught them how to think like that. Oh, I taught them how to think like that. So I just don't let those kinds of questions and that kind of energy get me tempted into something. Anytime the world seems like it's a big deal, something's a big deal, I'm like, nope, that's definitely not true. Yeah. Like, what was it Tony was talking about? Oh, we can't get our dairy anymore. Our raw dairy for the moment anyways. Amos Miller, who we've been getting our raw dairy from, Miller Organic Farm, came under some kind of court order to stop selling any dairy. And it's funny because it'll come up in our house a lot because we're running low on the stuff that we got before. And today, Tony goes, "Are we getting some cheese?" And I said, "No, they can't sell any dairy. Cheese falls under that category." God damn those fucking assholes. You know what I mean? So it's like the way I handle something like that, I don't try to correct a person, right? I notice that if it comes out of anyone's mouth, it's just coming out of my mind, yeah. Right? I just don't give it any value. I just don't give that. I don't play into it. It's not I know. It's not buying into it. It's not resisting it. Neither one. Just it passes. It's just like it's like an eruption that comes up in my mind and then it passes away, right? No problem. The dairy we don't have is the dairy we don't need. That's how we find out. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining. I love you so much. Thank you, Paul. It's been really fun. Thanks for all your questions. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, everyone. There's a shitload of you to mention. I appreciate you so much. I'll be back next week and probably hooking up with a Wednesday one here pretty soon. I love you, Nael. Thank you. Malu, number one. Malu, Fairy Woods. Those are a couple. Malu, let's see. Fairy Woods. Yeah. Ah, you're welcome. I love sharing my experiences. So go to miraclebotanicals.com for those essential oils. I'm adding a new one pretty soon. Sign up for my newsletter. I send stuff out to you guys. I love you. I'm also at hopejohnson.org. You can check out my book there. You can also leave me a donation there if you like. And then where else am I? Oh, hopejohnson7.kw.com. I don't know if my listings are up on there. I have not been fucking with that website at all, but I know you can contact me there. And I think you can download my app there. Anyways, I love you. Thank you so much for joining. Yay. Mahalo. Oh, thank you, Paul. Aloha. Oh, I love you, Jill. And a hui ho. Yay.